Okay, Ramban Parshas Bamidbar. So the Ramban has his Akdama to Sefer Bamidbar, and there he says that this Sefer is going to talk about, like the last Sefer of Vayikra talked about Karbanos. These are the mitzvos that have to do with the Ohel Moed. And he says, as he said before, that the Mishkan was supposed to be a recreation of Maimon Har Sinai. And therefore, it has similar mitzvos in that you're not supposed to come like by Har Sinai, you had to stay back. Not everybody could come close, right? Everybody had to stay back. Moshe went up, and Aaron went up. So the same thing here. Everyone had to stay back. That is, non Kohanim had to stay back, as Azari Krav Yumas. And they had the Kohanim guarding, Levium guarding, so nobody should come too close. And when they were put away, the Kalim, it says Lo Yavo Liros Kivalas Akirush Bamesu, and he had a similar thing by Harsine Penyhersuel Hashem Liros Vanafalmi Menorav. There's that thing of concept of staying back, not rushing to see the kedusha, to stay a little far back. This is all for the covered of the Mishkan, and it was at the time of Harsinai, but now covered of the Mishkan. Okay, so that part is similar. He says most of the mitzvos that are mentioned in Sefer Ben Mimbar are not forever, meaning they were just relevant to them being in the Midbar, with a few exceptions of, but mostly they were mitzvos that were not forever. They had to do with something there at the time, and Nisim that happened during the Midbar. Okay, now there are mitzvos that seem to be starting in Bamidbar that are permanent mitzvos, like tzitzis, for example. There's a bunch. But I guess he means either that most mitzvos are not, that are noeg lederos are not in Bamidbar, or that somehow these started in Vayikra, and he's finishing the explanation here, which is what he says, is the mitzvos that are under lederos or things that started in Vayikra didn't finish. How that would fit this, I don't know. Maybe he means al pi rov, which is what I would guess. Either way, there are some mitzvos here that are permanent mitzvos, just not many. Okay. So then the parsha begins with counting the Jewish people. So it says, "Mibenashim shana v'mala kol yotzei tzeva b'Yisrael." So if you're they, who got counted? If you were 20 years old, kol yotzei tzeva b'Yisrael, which sounds like whoever goes out to the army. So Rashi says, "Magid shein yotzei b'tzeva pachas mibenashim." You see, the army does not take people less than 20 years old. So that's, you go to the army only when you're 20 years old. You see that from here. If I'm 20 years old, that's kol yotzei tzeva b'Yisrael. That's Rashi. Ramban says, I'm not so sure. Yotzei Tzava does not have to be in the army. Yotzei Tzava, like it says by the mirrors, B'maros HaTzova Shasher Tzavu. Tzavu just means to get together. A group, getting together. Legions. It doesn't have to be legions of the army. It could just be legions. So the Ramban is not convinced that this is necessarily a raya, because it does not need to be referring to the army. It could be just Kol Yotzei Tzava. Whoever goes out and gets together as part of a city meeting, I guess, or whatever. Whoever is part of the group. There's considered 20 years old. The 20 years old are the Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael. Those are the ones who come for it together. Okay. Then we have that they are counted with coins. You can't count Bnei Yisrael directly. You have to count them via coins. Okay. Now, the Lashon, though, that the Pasuk uses is Tifkadu. It says, Kol Yotzei Tzava Ben Shrim Shana V'Mala, Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael, Tifkadu Osam L'Tziv Osam Ataveron. So what is Tifkidu Osam? So the Ramban says Tifkidu means remembering and paying attention to, like Hashem Pakada Sarah, Kasher Amar, like we say in Rosh Hashanah, you know, that Sarah got pregnant. Pakada is to remember, to pay attention to. Okay. And that's a way of hinting to you that you shouldn't count them by using the word Pakada. Just remember what the number is at the end, meaning don't count them. Just pay attention to what the final number is. You're not supposed to count them directly. That's the hint. Now, in the times of David, David did count the Jewish people, and there was a punishment. So, why did David do that? So, the Ramban says it's hard for him to believe that David wasn't this. It says here, "V'lo yibhem negef b'fkodesam," and that David didn't pay attention to that. He finds it hard to believe that David just asked to count the Jewish people, without any regard to this, that it says in our parasha, "V'lo yibhem negev b'fkodesam." Oh, sorry, that it says in Shmos. You have to count the Jews, not directly, but by coins. So the Ramban understands, of course, David HaMelech did not count the Jews directly. Of course he did it with coins. It's just it was for no purpose. Meaning, even if you count the Jewish people via coins, if there's no purpose other than feeling cool, like, look, I'm the king over a million people, so that's not a good excuse. And then that also brings to punishment. I said, not, I'm sure David HaMelech was a kaddish, he was, so he could feel cool, but that's the Lashon Rakla, Sameach Libo Shemalach Alam Rav. That's what the Ramban says. So whatever exactly that means. So it was slow Litzurach, that was the problem. In other words, David did the right thing, of course, he counted them with coins, but it was there was not a need to count, and that was the problem. And he brings a Medrash that says that, Amr Abelazar, Kashem Shrabi, B'Shem Rios Ben Zirma, Kals Man Shenimna Yisrael Litzurach Lo Chasru. If they were accounted for a reason, then nothing happened. If there was no reason, then they were some of them were killed. And it continues on. What is Latorach by Moshe? What was not Latorach by David? Okay, then he has a second shot that David counted the Jews with the shekel. That was not the issue. The issue was not the Lola Torach. The issue was the age. He started from 13 instead of from 20. And the Ramban explains, if Hashem wants to count from 20, he doesn't want from 13, what's the difference? Hashem doesn't want the whole Jewish people, from time to 13, then they're a person. Hashem doesn't want everybody to be counted b'minyan. Hashem wants to be marbe them, you know, to add more Jews, and then bracha shorel b'davar samayel ayin, they don't want to count things. So Hashem doesn't want everybody counted. And David counted from age 13 instead of from age 20, and that was the problem. And then he ends off saying that the Gemara, our Gemara in Brachos does not say like this. The Gemara in Brachos says, no, David Melech counted them straight. In which case he was Toh Kulam. And again, he had said, if you remember, the word Pakod here is on purpose. Pakod means just be aware of, but not to count directly. Svor is to count. And it does say there in Pasuk Yud, Acharei Safar Esa'am. It does use that word Safar. And he says here, you will never find the word safar. It just says pakod, and that which it says in pasuk beis b'mispar shemos, that's because when they went, as he's going to discuss later, when they went around counting everybody and they brought their shekel, they also had to state their name and yichus. So that's b'mispar shemos. That is say over their names. What was their name? And what shevet are they from? That's b'mispar shemos. Now, just an interesting thing. So their mispar is not number, it's kind of like misaper, or the counting with the names, I don't know exactly, but it does sound like it's the word is also telling. It's just interesting, I'm just pointing this out, just a language thing. Mispar shemos, according to this, is like the telling of the shemos, even though it sounds like a number. In English, you have the same thing. You have the word to count, and to recount something is to, right, to say it over. So it's just, I don't know why that is, but misapir and misbar, to tell and to count. In English, too, you have count and to recount a tale, right? I don't know why that is, but they do seem to share it. Anyway, that's what it's saying here. Mispar is to say over the names of where you're from. Okay, then we have in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Livnei Yosef, Livnei Ephraim. So whenever one, there's Ephraim and Menashe, right? So one of them has to come first, and Yosef is always attached to one of them. So here we have Ephraim is Lubnei Yosef, and then Ephraim. And you have that also by the Degalim. So the Ramban explains, because that's what you would expect, right? Ephraim, we know, is the more chashuv one, like Yaakov benched Ephraim with his right hand. So Ephraim was the more chashuv one. Okay, so you kind of expect Yosef to be associated with Ephraim, and Ephraim come first. However, in Arvos Moav, when it lists the Shvatim, there Menashe comes first. And the Ramban explains because there, at that point, Menashe was larger, and therefore it put him first. Also, he took his inheritance first, and therefore it put him first. And called him, like the B'nai Menashe, or the B'nai Yosef. Okay, so it goes both ways. What's fascinating is by the Meraglim. So by the Meraglim, Ephraim is mentioned first, but Yosef is mentioned connected to Menashe, so that's unusual. To all these other examples you mentioned, it says the B'nai Yosef, and then whoever came first, that's the one associated. The Meraglim, you have it different. It says Ephraim was such and such, was this person. Well, it was Yeshua ben Nun. And Lamate Yosef, Lamate Menashe, someone else. So He comes second, but Yosef is associated with the person from Menashe. Why is that? So the Ramban says, because Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers, and so did Menashe, but not Ephraim, right? Ephraim was Yehoshua. If he didn't speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem was Miyaches, the Motzi Diba with the Motzi Diba. Whoa. Or a much more, I don't know what I was saying, nice, I don't know, upshot, nice as in whatever, not making anyone evil, or, you know, is that he gave each one a little bit, meaning, so Ephraim got to go first, and Menashe was second, but he got to be associated with Yosef. Okay, so that's what, you know what I mean, nicer in that way. The other one's a little, ooh, intense. Yosef is associated with Menashe, because they were both speakers of Lashon Hara. Wow. Okay. Now about the general census of Klal Yisrael in Pasuk Mem Hey. So Ramban explains what he thinks the purpose is of the Mispar. So one is after every Magefa Hashem counts them, like Rashi brought. But also he says because this process of everyone had to come, everyone, every male above 20, whatever, had to come to Moshe Rabbeinu personally, individually, come to Moshe and state his name and his family. So listen to this. Ki habal efnei avi hanaviim va'achi b'kadosh Hashem. They'd have to come in front of Aaron and Moshe. V'hu noda aleim b'shmo, and you tell him your name. Yilo badaver hazez chus v'chayim. That would be chus and chayim for the person. Ki ba b'sod ha'am b'ksav b'nei Yisrael. He's now part of the Jews. I don't know, but it was a chus to be seen by Moshe and Aaron. It would be zchus to the rabbim in their counting, and zchus to the mispar shimon of Moshe v'Aaron, and it's zchus to be counted by Moshe and Aaron. Again, this is individually too. Ki asimo aleihem einam latova, because when you go say shalom aleichem to the greatest tzaddikim that ever lived, who of course had super avas Yisrael, they would put their ayin on them latova. Yivakshu aleihem rachamim. They were daven for them. Hashem elokei avaseichem yosef aleichem v'liyamit misparchem v'hashkalim korfan nafshaseichem. They get the shekel as a kapar for them, and also everyone gets to meet and say hello to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. They would daven for them. They would look at them in good, and that would be a big schus for them. And another explanation he brings is because they're about to go to war. At least that was the plan. They were supposed to go to war. And that's a normal thing, if you're, you know, not relying on an ace, is to know how many people you got for the army to go for the war. Okay, then we come to the Degalim. So, the Degalim, according to Rashi, each had their own color. And the Ibn Ezra says that they each had their own simanim. So, according to Rashi, everyone's color matched the color of their stone on the Choshen. So that's how you would know what devil you were from. And according to the Ben Ezra, so then it was images. So the image on Reuven was a man holding Dudaim. But the Iker is that it was a man. Some actually have the gear so that it was just a man, and that's the Dudaim looked like men. Those flowers looked like a man, so it was called... So it's just a man. Whatever it is, the idea is that it's a man on there because the four flags are going to be Merames into the four pictures in the Kisya Kovet upstairs, which is has the shore and the Nesher, the ox, the eagle, Adam, and lion. So Reuven's flag had a picture of a person. Yehuda had a lion. Dan had a eagle, according to this version, not a snake. And Ephraim had Shor. So, and all these go with these people. These Shvatim. Ephraim was Shor from Yosef. Yehuda is an Aryeh. Reuven is again for the Dudaim. And Dan, I'm not sure why he's like an eagle. But anyway, it's meant to mimic the four images on the Merkava. Okay, he also quotes a medrash that Yehuda would be on the east because that's where light comes out, and Yehuda is a Baal Melucha, he's the king, that's shines light I guess, out to the world, or shows people where to go. And then you have Yisachar, who's the Baal Torah, and Zevulun, who's the Osher. So all that goes together. Now, he didn't mention it. I'm just saying this. You know, it sure sounds like it's reminiscent of what's in the actual Heichal. You have the menorah is Chachma. You have the Shulchan is Osher. He doesn't say this. I'm sticking this in. Don't blame him. It sounded like, you know, maybe the Aron would be like the light and the Melucha that goes out to the world, and you have the Torah and the Osher coming out from the menorah and the Shulchan. Anyway, Ramban doesn't say that. He just says that those three go together. That the Yehuda and Yisachar and Zevulun are on the east, because those three go together, the Or and the Torah and the riches. And then on the south, you have the Talalei Bracha, the Gishmei Bracha that go from there to the world. And that comes from Reuven, because Reuven is the Baal Tshuva, and Tshuva brings Bracha to the world. You also have in that group Gad, who's the Baal Gvura, and Shimon, who is a Mechaper, who's Mechaper Aleihem. Shimon in the middle, a Chaper Alav. Sorry, Shimon's in the middle of those two to have a Kapara on him. So you have Reuven with his Tshuva, Gad with his Gvura, and Shimon in the middle to be Mechaper on him. I'm just reading the Medrash that the Ramban quotes. And then on the west, you have the Otro Sheleg, the snow, and Otro's Barad, and hail, and cold, and chom. And he says that goes with Ephraim and Asher Binyamin. And the Shechina is always Bemayrev by Binyamin. And just the whole Shevet, the whole tribe of, the whole B'nai Rachel, the Binyamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, those are all supposed to be Gvura in general. I don't know why, but that's what they are. And there are a good, that's Na'a L'Torah L'Tshuva. The first group apparently was broadly called Torah. The second one, that's Yehuda. The Tshuva is broadly Reuven, and Gvura is good for them, so that a person should be Mizgaber with Torah and Mizgaber al Yitro. And then the north, that's the, relatively speaking, negative. That's where Choshech comes out to the world. And there you have Sheba Dan, because Dan, via Yeravim, was where Avodah Zarah was. Yeravim put the Avodah Zarah in Dan. And you have with him Shevet Asher, who was supposed to lighten up the darkness, because he had all that oil. And Shevet Naphtali, who is a Baal Bracha. Okay, I just thought it's an interesting mantra that he brings. Okay, so then in the count of Kal Yisrael, we find that Shevet Levi, which is counted later, is really, relatively speaking, small. So they had 22,000, and that doesn't reach half of the smallest Shevet, meaning their 22,000 includes people from one month old. And the other tribes had people only from 20 years old, and they were still small. So he says it turns out that if you make the cheshbon, you know, putting them all equal, it should come out Levi wasn't half the size of the smallest Shevet. And why would that be? Don't say it's because the Aron was Machalabem. There was no Aron yet. So they weren't carrying the Aron yet. So he says, why would it be? He says, Tema Ichlo Yiu Chasid Devovda Vikashar Kalam Bruchi Hashem. How are they going to be worse? The ones that serve Hashem, the Bruchi Am, are going to be worse off? Shevet Levi? So he says, the Ramban says, it's because, this is a proof, or a chizik, to the concept that Shevet Levi was not part of the Shevet Mitzrayim. Remember, they had the Jews had that special bracha. They had six kids at once, because the reason that the Mitzrayim were meshabed them, enslaved them to start with, is to make them be subjugated. And they shouldn't have a lot of kids. And it says, just like the Mitzrayim, just as the Mitzrayim caused them affliction, so they got bigger and bigger and bigger. So, if you weren't part of the slavery, so then you didn't have that special bracha. So that's why they were so small. I mean, in other words, it wasn't that they didn't have a lot of kids. They had a normal amount of kids, like normal. They just didn't have six at once, because they were never enslaved. That's the Ramban's pshat. Not everybody agrees to that, obviously. But I think the Abarbanel says that they were enslaved. But anyway, the Ramban here is saying that this is a raya that they were enslaved, and that's why they were so small. They didn't have that special bracha. And he just points out the interesting things about what covered different things. So let's say the Aron and the Shulchan, the Menorah, they had most of them were covered in blue, in tcheles. The Mizbeach was, the outer Mizbeach was covered in purple. And the Shulchan, even though it was covered first in blue, it was then covered in red. Right, there are different multi-coverings to many of these things. So the Shulchan, for example, was covered first in blue and then in red. And there are other things that were covered, like the Mizbeach, were covered in purple. So colors are relevant in Yiddishkeit. It is not just what looks pretty. These colors mean things. So red is, the Ramban says here, it's for Midas HaMalchus. And Malchus is Midas HaDin. And red is always Midas HaDin. Like on Yom Kippur, right, we have, when the Jews are, we start off with red because of the sins, and then it turns white. Anyways, red is Midas HaDin. The blue, he says, is the Tchelis, is the Midah HaKlula Min HaKol. I think that's called Tveris, but I'm not a Mekubal, but I don't know. But then the Mizbeach Ola was in Ergamon because that's more red, because you sprinkle the blood there, which is the Kofar Nafsham. Okay, I just thought that's interesting. It is important to pay attention to colors because they are relevant. We know, like we said, by Yom Kippur, that's the most classic one, that the red of the wool and the white, that it turns white. There's a general red is, again, like he says, Midas Adin, white is Chesed. And you'll find, and like the Ramchal in Das Tvunos mentions that the eye, Hashem is Mashgiach, so Hashem made everything in this world mimic what's in the, this is not Ramban, this is Ramchal, I'm just throwing it in as a, it's something about colors. Ramchal says that Hashem made everything in this world mimic the upper worlds. So Hashem is Mashgiach, Midas HaRachamim, with Midas HaChesed, and Midas HaDin. So he made the human eye to, as an example, you know, because that's where Hashem sees, so it's a remez to that. So the eye is white, which is Chesed, and red, which is Din, and it also has blue, green, or whatever your eye color is, which is Midas HaRachamim. Anyway, so and like we said, in Kippur, the different colors are relevant. And then Tzaras is actually the opposite. Not the opposite. White there is the bad, at least not a person. There's all kinds of parts in Halacha, and the Hadas, that's Kasher, is only the red one. All these things need explanation, but anyway, it's something to pay attention to. And just to end off, at the very end of the parsha, it says, Pukudas Elazar ben Aron HaKohen, Shemen Amorah, Keteres HaSamim, Minchas HaTamid, V'Shemen HaMishcha. Pekudas Kala Mishcha Kala Shabbat B'Kodesh V'Chelev. So it says, Elazar ben Aron HaKohen, he was in charge of all that stuff. The oil, the Keteres HaSamim, Minchas HaTamid. So Pashup Shem is just in charge of them. He just tells everybody who to carry it and whatever. But he just says the Yerushalmi that Rashi brings. He says, how Yerushalmi b'pirushi Rashi is that he actually carried it himself physically. And it's not in our Rashi, but that's what he quotes. The Talmud, the Yerushalmi brought by pirushi Rashi is that he himself would carry them. In which case, that's a lot of carrying. So it would be close to an ace. The Ramban lists how heavy everything was. You're talking about all the ketores that they made and all the menachos for who knows how many days of Talmud and the oil for a year. He says, but it could be strong like Yaakov, meaning kind of miraculously strong. Could be. So maybe he did have that strength. Okay, perhaps that's what you'd have to say. I think he thinks that, you know, the Pashup Shot would be that it is, that he was just in charge of it. Okay, we'll stop here.